Welcome to Pacific Beer Chat. I'm Warren.
I'm Carnell.
And I'm Banny.
Nice. So we just had the BC Beer Awards happen, and it might be the least controversial one in recent memory.
There was a couple of interesting things, but yeah, I don't think there was anything that was mind-blowing.
Or, no. Out of the blue. It was a bunch of like nodding, approving nods
more or less.
In the hall when it was all going down. And then, Warren, you were good enough to bring a selection of gold medal winners. So I think the plan here is literally to go down the list and just give some thoughts about the winners and drink some of the beers and talk about those award-winning beers. The one that we've got in our glass right now is the Pixel Pils from Fuggles and Warlock.
Yeah.
And it won gold for, was it Pilsner?
It was in the light something or other category. Category number one.
It was
one.
The German Pilsner.
The German
Pixel
Pilsner.
Pixel Pils, Fuggles, and Warlock.
But it was also best in show, I believe.
It may have been. Let me just
I think in overall it was the beer.
The beer, yeah. Best in show. It was. You're absolutely right.
So theoretically, this is the best beer currently available in BC.
That's something it comes back to.
Wow.
I can tell you as a judge that has worked the BC Beer Awards before, that is not something that would have won best in show a few years back.
Do you think that's because perhaps people are more interested in Pilsners again?
Definitely. It's making a big resurgence in the craft world, and it makes something like this possible. Because I can tell you, a few years back, there was a blonde ale that made it to the best of category show, best of show category. It made it to that round. It was one of the final three, believe it or not. Herminator ended up winning that year.
Oh, interesting.
But this blonde ale was just as good. It was really well made. Mm-hmm. But the discussion was, this is a craft beer contest. We can't have a blonde ale be the best in show.
Yeah, so maturity coming to the scene. All the new school punks have grown up and got jobs in the craft beer industry. Now they're recognizing Pilsner again.
Yeah. It's an amazing style when it's done properly. Mm. And it's difficult to make. It takes some patience. It takes some time. And it takes a bit of skill, too.
Yeah, it's one of those ones that I always joke, like, I'm getting into the style, and I'm finding usually the ones that I find better are the European macro versions.
Well, they've been working on it a lot longer than any North American breweries have.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But really quickly, just to go over the awards till we get to the... So the Pixel Pils from Fuggles and Warlock, Bugs and Wugs, did win Best in Show. The Brewer of the Year, this was really interesting, was Kwantlen Polytechnic. And I think we'll chat about that a little bit more later.
That is interesting.
The Legend Awards were John Rowling and Jerry Heiter.
Yeah. So those guys are the guys that started the Great Canadian Beer Festival in Victoria.
Cool.
They were also instrumental in beginning the very first camera group, the Campaign for Real Ale.
Nice. Nancy Moore and Jerry Erath.
Yeah, so Nancy is from KPU. She's in charge of the entire program there. She's also got an extensive background in brewing, mainly at larger macro-type breweries and that, but she's been all over the world setting up breweries of all different sizes. Mm. And Jerry Erath, old-school Camera Vancouver guy who was managing the Brewery Creek for quite some time, if he still isn't.
Wow. Innovator of the Year, who saw this coming? Twin Sails Brewing.
Might have something to do with all the fruit bombs they're making down there.
Maybe.
The Brewers Challenge was won by Four Winds Brewing with their Cherry Operis. People's Choice. So this was the best beer on that day, pouring that day in the hall. And I didn't get a chance to try this. I wish I had. It was the Brew Hall Zato Tropical Sour.
Oh. Yes, I didn't get to try it either.
No. Rookie of the Year, my guess was House of Funk, but I guess they only open in the summertime. And I don't know if that's one reason or another.
I don't know.
But Il Sauvage from Victoria takes it.
They're making similar beers to House of Funk.
Yeah, it's sort of a similar idea. I'm really excited. Benny and I are planning to head to Victoria pretty quick here. So
nice.
They'll definitely be a stop for us.
Bring some Il Sauvage back.
Yes. Yeah. Well, Vancouver Island, I think, took home so many awards. They were very well represented.
Vancouver Island came back hard.
Yeah.
And then the Dan's Small... I was reading this completely wrong. Dan's Small Homebrew Award, presented by Create Beer, Dan's Brew Shop, was won by Andrew Swanton. And his beer was The Answers to Life, the Universe, and Everything. Dark Mild. I follow 42. on Instagram.
Oh, yeah?
And I was like, why do I know this guy getting an award? And I was like, then I went through my Instagram, and there's him like with his award. And I was like, oh, I'm a jerk. I don't know who I follow. anyways, so, yeah, we're in the lagers. We are drinking the Pixel Pils,
yeah.
And it won gold for a German Pilsner.
And best beer in BC, so
and
let's
best
try
beer.
It out.
Best beer.
Well, it's shocking because I'm not the biggest. I know people who like Fuggles and Warlock will not stop talking about Fuggles and Warlock. I live sort of far away. It's one of the few breweries in BC, or sorry, in Vancouver, Metro Vancouver, I haven't visited. But I got to say, like off the smell, it smells like a German Pilsner to me.
Well, I would agree to an extent. I mean, I'm expecting to get that nice malty, background, but I'm getting more fruity off the nose than really anything.
Yeah, I get that. And yeah. It's not...
Apple-y.
Yeah, right?
Yeah.
That's what I'm getting, apples. It almost smells like a cider.
Yeah.
Which is kind of odd.
Yeah. And when I taste it, I mean, there's bits and pieces. I think there's a bit of that apple, like you say. But we don't know what batch they were necessarily drinking.
Yeah, I'm not necessarily tasting apple so much.
No.
It's fruity. There's some fruitiness there. I'm getting a little bit of that. A little bit of that malt is in the background, though. I would expect it to be a little more malty for that style, but I mean, this is a slightly different take on it. The malt comes in a little more towards the end to balance the hops out. It's kind of interesting.
Are you getting any like that crispy, biscuity sort of cracking a cracker is the way I always think about it when I have a really good
bit, but not as much as I would expect.
Yeah, and that was my thought. It's there,
yeah.
But it's not as profound as maybe I would want it to be. It'd be really nice to like put it up against like a Pilsner or Kel or something.
A classic,
yeah. But
don't have any of those just laying around.
Every time I'm at the liquor store, I'm like, I should pick up some Merkel. but I don't. But other winners in the lager categories, International Lager is won by Townsite Brewing with Vidal. Pale German Beer was a Cole Story Bro Kolsch by Brewhall Beer Co. And I hate how much I love that name. Amber European Beers was the Mertzen R&B Brewing Co.
Oh.
Which is
R&B.
Nice. Yeah, R&B. Well done. But Mertzen, is that... That's German for March?
Yeah.
Is that one of the Oktoberfest beers?
Yeah.
Yeah.
They brew it in the spring and then age it over the summer and then serve it in the fall.
Oh, there you go. So if you're thinking Oktoberfest, this might be one. And it's sort of a red ambery lager. Yeah. Interesting stuff. Yeah. Oh. And then we're on to our next beer that we have with us, so maybe I should slow down and stop going through awards. But I would say this is perhaps one of the better versions of a sort of German lager that I've seen produced by craft producers.
It's a little lighter in flavor and body than some other examples of this type of beer, but you know what? These would go down real easy on a hot day.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
That's right. Beer pong beer.
Beer pong. This wouldn't be a bad beer pong beer, depending on the price.
Yeah, you can knock it back.
Yeah. But yeah, I mean, again, looking at these, I can totally see a nice Mertzen taking an amber European category. Nothing. A couple of years going, there would just be things, and I'd be like, really? Really? And then oftentimes you try it, and you're like, oh, okay, I kind of understand where this is coming from. But nothing is jumping out at me right away as being strange here. It's cool to see all the smaller breweries, like the not so well known breweries winning awards. Like the names in here in this lager area, actually, just pass it over so you can see as well. Yeah, I mean, Electric Bicycle. Well, actually, Four Winds is a big. But then you've got Bomber Brewing.
Brewhall. They've won a couple. Bomber won first place for their IPA as well.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So that's interesting because they just went through a rebranding exercise that not everybody is enjoying.
I'm not a big fan.
It's kind of stripped down, isn't it?
Yeah. What do you mean modest beer? Your beer is good. Tell someone.
Kind of
what did you
odd.
Make? Well, I don't want to talk about it.
It's kind of odd. Well, how they got rid of the logo and everything. I don't know.
Yeah.
Whatever.
Anyways, yeah.
But it was funny. So what I did today was when I went out to the locals in my neighborhood. I didn't drive any further than probably about 10 minutes away from my house.
Mm-hmm.
I went to a couple different stores, but I had a list with me, which was just the number one winners, just the first place winners from each category. And I managed to find half a dozen, which five of them I brought with me. I don't know what happened to one of them. I misplaced it or something. But I can tell you, we found the Fuggles and Warlock Pixel Pills. I think I saw that at several of the places I was at. Should be pretty easily obtainable in anywhere in the Lower Mainland, at least, if not anywhere in BC. I also picked up some other ones. So let's see. I got Daggerad, Steamworks, Russell Brewing in Vancouver Island. No, Russell I didn't pick up. That was the one I missed out. So Vancouver Island, Steamworks, and Daggerad as well. Yeah. And Old Yale.
Nice.
So those are the ones I was able to find locally. If you look a little bit harder, you might be able to find some other stuff. From what I understand, that Ferocious Wild IPA from Yellow Dog might be available only at their brewery.
At finer liquor stores, maybe. I don't know how you want
to. I went to the Brewery and they said it was at the brewery only.
Yeah, I've seen it at the brewery. I think I've seen it at a few Jacks.
Okay.
Yeah, Jacks are, I would say, one of the better spots.
They usually carry all the
Jacks has a decent selection for sure.
Yellow Dog ones.
Yeah.
All right. So, yeah, I had to stop there because, lo and behold, I came to another gold medal award winner that we were planning to drink. So this is the dark and strong European beer. And Vancouver Island takes not one but two of the three medals here. The Dominion Dark Lager goes bronze. The May the Schwartz be with you, Kwantlen Polytechnic University, wins silver.
Wow.
And a absolute classic. The Herminator Ice Bock.
Herminator
wins gold.
It typically wins something every year.
It should do.
It's a very well-made beer.
But yeah, maybe even before we get there, because I know we're going to sip and savor this one. So Kwantlen Polytechnic wins Brewery of the Year.
Yes.
Well, I guess they won in more than one category.
Yep.
They picked up a couple medals or trophies or whatever you want to call them. And maybe that's kind of what put them as Brewery of the Year. But I think beyond that, they may have factored in the point that there's a hell of a lot of great brewers who are coming out of there who are working at a lot of these breweries that are winning awards as well, right?
Yeah. Well, and I think you might hear this if you're someone, one of the, I don't know, there's quite a few people listen to this podcast. But if you listen to one,
at least three.
There's like four of them out there, but yes. When you're on it, there's less.
We always make this joke, and I know for a fact there's like we average like in the hundreds of listeners, which is shocking and awesome to know. But I was talking also to at the BC Beer Awards, Jordan Foss, who actually creates my favorite podcast, or maybe my second. No, it's my favorite podcast, Beer Life with Jordan Foss. And he always jokes that there's only four people listening to his podcast. And I'm like, he must be talking like thousands. Because like we joke that no one listens to our podcast and we're in the hundreds. And that podcast is great. So he must be talking 4,000.
So are you saying our podcast isn't great? Whoa.
I'm saying our podcast is good.
Mean.
What I'm saying is Jordan Foss's podcast.
Carnell's like fangirling over here. He did it at the BC Beer Awards too. He's like, Jordan, Jordan, can I talk to you for a second, Jordan? I actually said,
am I interrupting? The guy he talked to was like walking away. He's like, no, you're not interrupting at all.
Like, first of all, I love your podcast. And can I just ask you a few questions about...
I know Jordan from the What's Brewing panel, right? So he used to work at Legacy and he used to put together the boxes of samples for us for the What's Brewing panel.
Jordan Knott.
Oh.
I'm talking Jordan Foss, owner-operator of Steel and Oak.
Oh, that. Yeah.
Yeah.
We did a podcast there on location.
We did. They're very graciously.
And I'm wondering if maybe that's what got him into doing that.
You know what? I don't think so.
He's just a very talented man.
I thought it was awkward because we bugged them before I knew, before it had come out. And I wonder if he was like, oh, shit, rival podcast coming in. But he very graciously allowed us to be there. Yeah, they were they're good to us. I can't remember how we got on this tangent. Talking about, KPU, Kwantlen Polytechnic University, how they won. My understanding, because we actually got to talk to them right after they won, or actually right before.
Yeah.
And after.
And after. But we recorded the before. and just saying how they knew they only put a, put forward X amount of their beers, and so they were hoping for the best. And yeah, my understanding, it's sort of a ratio, you know, how well you do versus how many beers you put forward.
Okay, that makes sense.
And so I think they've done, you know, they picked, you know, some of their best stuff. I don't want to speak for them. And they were hopeful,
right?
So it's cool to see, because like for those of you who don't know, KPU is a university. It's a university program, but correct, to run the program, they have to be licensed and taxed and sell and do everything.
And
as
if
a,
you visit there on Friday afternoons, you can get growler fills.
Yeah, yeah. I actually got to brew a beer there this summer. I brewed a double tap Deepa
along with other people. He didn't do it himself. Craft Tourists organized it.
Social influencer group.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, a bunch of us went down, and it was a really good experience. And I could totally see myself in another life, you know, being part of one of those programs. It was an incredible program. Have you been there?
Oh, I've been to KPU a few times, yeah.
In the brewing section.
In the lab, yeah. I've been there for growler fills. I've been there to award presentations.
Oh.
I'm part of the Tri-Cities Cask Festival Association, and we made a donation to KPU, so we were there for that.
So you know.
And my good friend Timmy was an instructor there for a while, so I used to pop in there and visit him occasionally at that time.
Yep.
So, yeah, I've been there a few times.
So I it was my first time, and I was just sort of like, I'd seen pictures, and you just
it's
don't
pretty
know.
Impressive.
It is impressive. Like, it's not a huge building. It's
no,
not a huge program either. I think, what, they have 15, 20 students a year?
I'm thinking 20-ish or something. Yeah.
And but it's just, it's well done. Like, everybody clearly has a workspace.
Yeah.
There's several small-scale units.
They got multiple little 10-gallon Blickman setups.
Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah,
they're really nice. And then the bigger brewery system they have there is fully automated. It's just gorgeous.
It is. It's really, really beautiful. It was a great place to check out. And, you know, having met the people and done that one brew with them, I was really happy for them to have won. And I hope it brings, you know, a few more people through their doors. They're never going to be, I mean, their plan is not to be a production brewery, right? But it does show, you know.
There are plans in the works, from what I understand, to expand on that whole brew school concept. There are some people trying to raise money to actually have a brewery there, a commercial brewery built, as well as a restaurant.
That was my understanding, a little bit of a brew pub sort of style.
Yeah.
Yeah, which would be very, very cool. It's just great. And I mean, it's produced so many brewers. I think you know a brewer fairly well that's come out of their system.
Yeah.
Christy, yeah. Someone that you plan to be working with pretty closely in the next couple of years.
Well, and Ashley came out of that program and she was working with us for a bit there too. So
yeah.
Yeah, no, I know lots of people have come through that group, through KPU, tons.
Yeah, I mean, I think you could probably point to that as being a major reason the quality, or that program, sorry, as a major reason the quality of beer has risen in probably the last 2 or 3 years. In British Columbia, because now we have all these people who are trained professionally. You know, well, not just.
It really is a world-class brewing school now, right? I mean, the students had a competition against other universities and brew schools.
Yep.
And they
won.
Did very well.
Yeah. My understanding, this is the North American ones, but they won. I'm imagining, you know, some of the more well-known ones would probably be part of it. I don't know for sure. But, yeah, it's great to have that in our backyard.
Absolutely.
Yeah. They're pushing the industry. Yeah.
Let's try this Herminator.
Oh, absolutely.
I may have already tried it.
It smells fantastic.
So good. So good.
You get like the sherry notes, a little fruitiness, the dried fruit, like raisins.
Yeah, I get those figs. That like sugary fig.
Yeah, yeah. Real rich.
Yeah. Oh, it's...
It's like fall in a glass.
It's
it really
one of the.
Is.
It's. I mean, I would go far. It's in the pantheon of like best yearly seasonals to come around in BC.
That is delicious. It's a little bit boozy. You can taste the alcohol, but it's not really hot. It doesn't burn. It's fairly smooth.
No, it's not hot.
And it's not super sweet like some of these thick, heavy beers are.
No, it's. It's just like you say, it's like winter in a glass. Like, you want to talk about, I hate when you say winter ales or fall ales. Like, that means nothing. It's just a feeling you get from drinking it. But if you want to talk about a real winter beer to me, This is a winter beer. It's not a winter beer. It's not a style of beer. It's but it has sort of those winter flavors.
It's appropriate to be drinking it this time of year. Yeah. In the fall, leading into this winter.
Yeah.
It's it warms you up inside from that
yep.
little bit of
but
alcohol.
But no heat, like you say. Well, and it is high in alcohol, 9.5%, but it's yep. oh, it's but it's got all those rich flavors.
Super rich. So yeah. you could sip on that and yeah, this would go nice in front of a fire.
Yes.
Yeah, this is one I remember, and this beer has been going around for, what, 20-plus years at this point?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, Vancouver Island Brewing was
it's
one of the...
It's a classic.
Was one of the first five breweries, craft breweries in BC?
It was one of the first few, for sure.
Yeah. I mean, depending on how you want to count it, they were one of the first.
Early 2000s,
been,
yeah.
Yeah, they've been brewing this, as far as I know, since, you know, first couple of years, yep. and it's been coming around every year since. The first year I became aware of it, I don't know what the heck they were trying to do. One of their crazy rebrands again. But they were selling it as Herminator's Own Ice Bock, E-I-S Bock.
What?
Yeah. So they've, which means ice, as
yeah,
I understand.
That's the proper spelling.
Yeah. Yeah. Which is fine. It's just, you know, crazy Vancouver Island Brewing rebranding for attention again.
Oh, my God. And you know what? It's 9.5%. So I've had one sip and I'm basically wasted.
It's delicious. It's delicious. I love this beer. I couldn't really... This is like... It might be one of my desert island beers.
This is a desert island beer
so
for
good.
You. Wow.
It's so nice and rich and fruity. It's just delicious. Yes. I could pair this with a nice slice of fruit cake or something. Mm, you know?
Mm-hmm.
Oh, yeah.
It's
the one
I
you
want to
drink on Christmas
Eve. Or maybe
Eve.
A pumpkin tart or something.
Yeah.
Yes.
What are those tarts?
A butter tart?
Mm. Yeah, some of those butter tarts. Like that's like this is the liquid
that'll
version of
those.
A butter tart.
Yeah, it's got that. It's got yeah. that caramely toffee.
Yeah,
flavor.
Not to say it's I the exact that. Same flavor profile, but no. just sort of that feeling it gives you, yeah. like, the way you imagine. Like no one makes those in the middle of summer. No one drinks this beer in the middle of summer.
Yeah, this is definitely not an August beer.
I've got some in the cellar. Maybe I will open in August just for fun. Probably sitting there like, oh no, this is terrible.
Scoop of ice cream in it.
Oh yeah, but. Yeah, I don't have much to say except anytime this beer wins an award, I just, mm-hmm.
Of course it does. I mean, it's a classic. You can't go wrong.
Well, and the other funny thing is, like, this beer has been made through, what, several brewers there?
Mm-hmm.
And I'm sure they've all got the same originals.
It changes a bit from year to yep. year, but it always is pretty true. It's always close to what it should be.
Yeah, it's shockingly good.
It's like an old friend.
Mm. Always reliable.
That's
always
right.
Delicious.
Never lets you down.
Question mark.
Oh, it's so good.
So interesting packaging. It came out of a can this year.
Yeah, yes. and I've heard some lovers of beer, you know, poo-poo the can for anything high volume.
Yeah.
But I've also heard some breweries say, you know, they really believe in it as a packing medium. I think the bottle for a beer like this is probably best when you take care of the bottle.
You know, I don't think it really matters much anymore. No. I mean, I used to be very opinionated and prefer glass, but I've been swayed. I see the reasoning behind the can, mm-hmm. and it kind of makes sense.
Yep.
I mean, the reality is that the can is going to protect your beer better from being light struck.
Yep. Mm.
There's no light getting through that can whatsoever.
No, it's completely opaque.
So the glass bottle, yeah, it's brown, so it filters out a lot of the UV, but there's still that potential there. There is a little bit of light getting through.
Yeah, and it should have, you know, just as good a seal on it as, say, a bottle.
Yeah.
Would be. And I know a lot of people say, well, yeah, the metal will leach in, but it's not beer on metal. It's got a
poly lining.
Yeah, there's a lining on it.
Yeah.
And my understanding is, I've also heard people say, well, the poly lining will break down. And my understanding is that will happen in 10, 20,
right.
30 years. If you're holding it in your cellar for 2-3, the chances of that happening are pretty low.
Exactly.
When on the whole, it's probably a better vessel than a bottle.
If the poly lining of a can can stand up to the phosphoric acid in Coca-Cola,
yeah,
then it'll handle a beer just fine.
There you go. So, but I did the same thing because I saw this beer before I knew you were bringing this beer. I saw it today at the liquor store and I was like, ooh, I got to get my Herminators to stick in my cellar again this year.
Yeah.
Because this beer, and I say this every year, but if you want to start a cellar, this is the best beer to start your cellar with.
Get a vertical going.
Because, yeah, you can get a 6-pack or 4-pack of these guys for a really reasonable price.
True enough, yeah.
And there's the start of your cellar. Drink one now and drink one every 6 months.
Yeah.
Or every year. But I stopped myself because I thought, oh, maybe there'll be a bottle, a six-pack bottle. I don't know if there is. But next time I see it, I'm just going to grab a four-pack and chuck it in that cellar. Because I've talked myself into it. The can is just fine.
Yeah. I wouldn't worry about it.
Yeah.
Like I said, yeah, I doubt you're going to be hanging on to that one for 20 years, right?
No. No, I mean, you shouldn't really be holding on to many beers for 20 years.
Yeah, but a 9.5, you can hang on to them for a few.
Yeah, yeah.
They'll age nicely.
I mean, yeah. Well, I mean, but most beers, it's not whiskey or wine. It's sort of 1-3 years.
The only ones I would age would be anything over about 10%.
There you go. Dark, strong European beers. The winner here, this is the category we're drinking from. Mm. German wheat beers are the next one. And Hefchenick from Brassneck wins that one. Brassneck, obviously a great brewery. There's no controversy when Brassneck wins anything.
No, Brassneck makes great beer. Conrad knows what he's doing. Yeah. That's the old brew house from Dix that they brew with there. Mm-hmm. The only problem with Brassneck is they don't package.
They do. They do. They only sell out of Brassneck, though. They have a to-go case now.
Really?
Yeah, you can buy cans.
Crawlers cans?
They've got cans and you can get
it's
like
beautiful.
A growler,
it's
Phil.
A beautiful day. I love it.
Okay, I learned something new today.
There you go. Yeah, it's if you're
and you can mix them up too, can't you? You don't have
singles.
To buy four of the
like
same
this.
Thing.
It's one of my favorite things because I used to say like, oh, you always got to keep a growler in your car because if you go into any part of town you don't normally go into, there's a brewery nearby. That's
yes.
And I love, it's like, forget the growler, which I know is a great vessel for reusable, reducing.
The growlers are very
controversy, Carnell.
Yeah, but I love how I can just go in there and grab a can of something. If I'm on Main Street or in the area, and I would do that. Also, winning in this category of German wheat beer, bronze was for the 50-50 Hefeweizen from Kwantlen. This went into their Brewery of the Year win.
Mm-hmm.
And R&B Bruco, very near that.
R&B again.
Yeah, Brewery Creek
amazing.
Winning R&B's awards.
Making a bit of a comeback.
Well, this whole year could be like year of the comeback. UK Pale Ale, Backroads wins bronze. Bomber Pale Ale wins silver. And Papa G's ESB, the Noble Brewhouse. So, I don't know any of these beers.
Noble Pig?
Noble Pig Brewhouse.
Yeah, so, those guys are from Kamloops. Yeah. It's a little brew pub.
Have not checked.
I don't even know if they package, to be honest with you.
Backroads
I love
Brewing.
The name.
So, Backroads is the up island. In Squamish, isn't it?
I thought Backroads was the island.
Is it?
Backroads Brewing, yeah. Isn't like, it's one of those.
Am I thinking Backwoods? No.
You're thinking Backcountry, isn't
back
it? Country. Yeah. Squamish,
thank
yes.
You. Backwoods. Where the heck's Backwoods?
Backroads.
Oh,
did
back
I say Backwoods?
Sorry.
What did I
say? I don't know.
What?
We should start a brewery called Backwoods, so it sounds great.
It's called Backdoor.
Backdoor.
Backdoor. Hey, that's another thing, too.
Backroads is a Nelson. Excuse me.
Oh, Backroads is Nelson.
Excuse me.
Okay.
You visit
okay.
Backroads, haven't you?
No, Mike was there doing a podcast over the summer.
Okay.
That's right. Okay. Yeah, those guys have only been around for about 2 or 3 years.
Yeah. And then Bomber Pale Ale. I mean...
Well,
yeah, what can
Bomber
I say?
Won a couple medals this year.
Yeah, I mean they've always made decent beer. It's just their beer is so modest. I never think to pick it up.
Yeah,
and
now you can't even know the branding's so screwy. You can't even spot it on the shelf anymore.
No, you're like, oh wait, do I want No Name Chips? Oh no, that's beer. Beer, No Name Ruffles. Oh no, it's a pale ale.
Yeah,
UK Brown Ale, Outboard Motor Oatmeal Porter. The 101 Brewhouse and Distillery. I have been
101.
There.
Love it there.
Yeah. Batty and I, just a couple months ago, we checked out nearly all the breweries in Penticton.
We did.
I love that place. I can't wait to go back to Penticton.
Yeah.
There is some cool beers. I was saying to Batty, like, historically, outside of Vancouver and Victoria, like, that was the, like, major craft beer scene in BC.
Well, the Kelowna's always had a couple breweries, too, right? Like, I mean, Granville Island's production brewery's there and has been for a long time.
And they
time.
Had Tree, but, I mean, yeah. You might argue that those are, I mean, they had Cannery, and what was the other one that was always there?
Cannery's in Penticton, yeah.
Cannery and Tin Whistle.
Tin Whistle was there.
And yeah, and for a town of that size 10 years ago, to have two breweries in one spot, and then Bad Tattoo opened up 5 years ago and sort of added to that scene at downtown. And now they have Slackwater, which is a great, well, cool place. I thought really interesting beer. And the 101 Brew House also adds to that
101.
Scene.
101? That's a Gibson's.
101 Brew House. Am I talking about the wrong 101?
Yeah.
I'm thinking Highway 97. I'm an idiot.
Yes.
Well, One of ones in Gibson.
Cam, can we just cut all that bullshit I spouted?
No, the 101's fantastic, though. I stopped in there when we were on our way back from Powell River.
Yeah.
And it was great. All the beer was to style, and it was all darn good.
And they do some...
Great food, too.
They do some spirits as well, don't they?
I think you might be right, yeah. Yeah. I think I remember my wife getting some kind of gin and vodka flight or something.
Oak-aged gin, that's the new thing in spirits, isn't it? I don't know. But yeah, it's... The Sunshine Coast is another great spot for beer.
Yeah, lots
Gibson specifically, because they got the 101 Brew House. They have, of course, the OGs of that scene, Persephone. Whereas my mom likes to say Persephone, which always bugs me.
Yeah, and there's the other place down by the wall.
The Gibson Tap House, yeah. Yeah, so it's a great little scene there. Not quite walkable, but cyclable. Mm. Nice cycle.
Yeah, that wall's that hill is a little rough. I don't know.
Bit tough. Then we get into, you know what? We should stop there because here comes our next award-winning beer. Yeah.
So what category is the next one?
So the next one's UK Stout. So listeners at home, guess what that might be for a winner.
How sound must be on that list? Pothole filler?
Ooh. Well, I'll tell you, bronze medal goes to in this category. Oh, shoot, we need a opener.
I got one.
Be my guess. goes to Cold Steeped Irish Stout by the Bakery Brewing.
Oh, really? Bakery? Yeah. On the map.
So, my good friends, they're not really my good friends, but I know them and they're good
Dan people. And Adam.
Well, no, right? I was going to say the Brewers.
Oh, the Brewers, yes.
Yeah, I was going to say Roxy.
Roxanne. And
shoot, so good, I can't remember his name. Excuse me. But my good friends, they are running the show there, and they're playing with barrels, and they're playing with just about anything.
Yeah, they're doing some soured styles and some aged
things. My understanding now is that,
very interesting.
It doesn't necessarily have to be... sour or wild. That was like sort of the word on the street for a while. But that's not necessarily the goal there. They're just looking to have fun with beer. And it's the Moody Ale side project.
Yep.
So lots of fun. And they are the fifth brewery on Brewers Row within that 200-meter stretch. So you now have to go an average of just 50. No. I can't even do the math. Less than 50 meters. 39.8 or something. And you should run into a brewery. As long as you're going east-west. If you're going north-south, you're screwed. Until
there's a...
Until...
a few more months, there'll be another one there on St. John's. Fraser Mills project.
So, anyways, long story short, Bakery Brewing. It's cool to see them get going, get an award. Congrats to Roxy and Show.
Yeah, because they just opened earlier this year.
Yeah, Show. That's his name. Sorry.
It is.
I feel... Sorry, Show.
Carnell is notoriously bad at names.
I am. Then we get number two, Tactical Turtleneck from another beer company.
ABC, Westminster.
That's right, Sapperton.
Another new one to the scene. I think they just opened up this year as well.
They did. Really cool people. And Benny and I got invited to a thing out there a couple months ago. We really enjoyed it. Been trying to get back ever since. I really like it because, as I was saying to them, they are doing basically the brewery I would plan to open if I had $1 million. but they're doing it. Their goal is to sort of get as much out the door of their brewery as possible, and it's the concept. One of the few concepts I think will continue to work in craft beer moving forward.
Well, they were one of the first to do the no growler.
And what I mean, the reason behind that is you can't ensure the quality of your beer in a growler as well as you can.
Well, you know, it's funny. I've been talking to some people who work lounges and tasting rooms and stuff recently, and I've heard some crazy horror stories about people bringing in growlers that are filthy dirty, like with mold growing inside them.
Happens, yeah.
And even sometimes beer left in the bottom of them and stuff, and they bring them in and expect you to fill them.
Yeah.
The reality is sometimes they just get shut down. They're like, no, we're not filling this.
Yep.
You need to take this home and clean it and bring it back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I've spent some time in tasting rooms, and that was definitely, you'd see some gross stuff. But the thing I hated hearing was someone be like, yeah, I'll have XYZ, and you're like paying up, and they chuck their growlers on the thing as they're paying. Oh, by the way, it's been a while. You might want to rinse it a couple times.
Yeah.
Hold on. You know how bad it is, and your solution to this is rinse it twice?
Oh, my God.
Do you understand how bacteria works?
Would you serve your dinner on a dirty plate that has been sitting on the counter for 2 weeks?
Well, no. Carnell might.
Well, I rinse it twice, though.
Like, it makes no sense to me. So I can understand how sometimes people are questioning it or, you know, hesitant to fill a growler.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
For sure.
Yeah, and I understand when you... I mean, and this is the thing. The market's getting so crowded, and the quality of beer is rising to the point where... If you're a small brewery like ABC is relative to the Parallel 49, the VIBs, the Granville Island, whomever else, you might not have the opportunity to lose someone's business on a bad pint or a bad growler.
Mm-hmm.
And it might piss some people off in the short run. But if you're trying to build a reputation, and we talk about hype or whatever, but I think hype is really just reputation and a millennial way of saying it. And I hate that because I'm technically a millennial. But yeah, I see the reasoning behind it. And I don't know if I would do it if it was my brewery, but I definitely don't disagree. And that's fine. I'll grab a can from the fridge. That's my preferred way of consuming beer anyway these days.
So, yeah.
Such is life, man.
This is what it is, yeah.
Yeah, but anyways, onto another format of beer, one that's dying, a slow, painful death.
The winner in this stout category. Mm-hmm. What was the category? Dark English
UK stout.
UK stout. So the winner number one was Old Yale with a Sasquatch stout.
Yeah,
which I think that may have won in the past as well.
I think that might be a foreign beer of the year.
So let's take a sip of this one.
Absolutely.
Well, you get that that chocolatey, roasty thing in the nose right off the bat.
Yeah.
Yeah. Coffee. Chocolate.
I think this is just a fine beer, but I'm kind of shocked if I can just inject some controversy that does not exist in this one.
Oh, boy.
It's delicious beer.
This is a nice dry stout.
Yeah.
But the chocolate flavor makes me think more American.
It's, to an extent. I think it's very close to a dry Irish stout, though, too.
Yeah, well, and that's the other thing. How happy would the Irish be about being lumped in with the UK?
Well, yeah, probably not that much. But, this is a great beer. It's a little thinner in the body, and it's not sweet. It's not super roasty, either. It's actually fairly easy to drink.
Mm-hmm.
It's really good.
Yeah, well done. This is out of Chilliwack. I mean, here's another older brewery.
So I'm guessing this is a little lower in alcohol, eh? What's this, in the fours or fives?
Oh, here we go. Anyways, voted best beer in Canada for 2014. So this wasn't actually a BC beer.
It was a Canadian Beer Awards.
It was Canadian Beer Awards, so a little bit wider.
Wow.
And it is a 5% beer.
Five, yeah.
It has flavors of coffee, chocolate, and mystery.
I do feel that mystery in it. What is that?
I love it when you take a sip of beer, like
mystery.
Oh yeah, coffee, chocolate, hint of mystery.
Yeah, that goes down.
Detective Banny
nice.
Loves it.
Finishes just a little tiny bit on the bitter side.
Yeah, but it reminds me of sort of that dark chocolate bitter too.
Yeah,
it's dark chocolatey. Yeah, it's sure. Definitely dark chocolate.
That would go good with a nice scoop of ice cream too.
Ooh, what? Pour it right over top.
No, it wouldn't go. I always think that's like, oh, there's vanilla so many beers float. That would go great with ice cream. Hazy beer would not.
No. But I mean, on the side of ice cream, sure. Sherbet. Basically, everything goes good sorbet. With ice cream.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. So after the UK stouts.
Yeah, strong ales. We have Wayfair from Strangefellows Brewing. Not a shock. Strangefellows Brewing makes some amazing beer.
They do.
And then we have Mellow Mayo from House Sound Brewing. I wonder if that was a brewery-only release because I don't remember ever seeing it.
Yeah.
And then Woolly Bugger, which is one of my favorite English-style barley wines going.
That one's been around for a while, too.
Oh, yeah. It's been year after year.
Well, we did a Pacific Beer Chat on Woolly Bugger. We did a vertical, didn't we?
Oh, yeah, we did because Mike, like me, loves that beer. It's more of that English style versus what Mike... Well, Mike calls the American style just like, oh, it's just a really big IPA that you've let sit in the cellar for a while. Yeah. But he's not necessarily wrong about that either.
I like those, but...
Next one is the fruit beer category. Number three is a Moondance Mango Wheat from Old Yale. Is that a reference to that Irish singer who hates people?
I don't know. Who?
You know, He like sits
sing
on
a song.
Stool.
Morrissey?
No, no. Van Morrison.
Van Morrison.
Didn't he the
moon
dance?
I don't know.
I'm not sure. I've never been a big fan of
the moon dance. Is something that Michael Jackson did.
That was the moonwalk.
Yeah.
But it was a dance. I don't know. Weigh in here,
no,
people.
Van Morrison has the moon dance.
Oh,
it's
yeah?
It's a marvelous night for a moon dance.
Okay.
All right. Carnell knows some
with
stuff.
With the stars
Whoa.
Up above in your eyes.
So may or may not be.
And what's this one called?
That.
It's a mango wheat.
Moon dance, mango wheat. So there you go. The beer... inspired by the Van Morrison song, the Moon Dance Mango Wheat by Old Yell. The Corvus Lingonberry Lime Goza.
Mm, Lingonberry.
That
reminds
one's
me of
silver.
IKEA.
Yeah. Yeah. You know what? I'm getting real sick of Gozas.
Yeah.
It's a great style, I think, for breweries because you can probably put it together pretty quick.
Yeah.
And it hits a certain market. You know, people who like something that are a little tart, but
yeah,
I'm over it. Oh, and then we
got
yeah,
you're
next,
moving on to pilsners.
We got Whoa. Our next winner here, so maybe I should just shut up. And
yeah,
drink.
That well, seems fair.
If you're not a big fan of sours, then you're gonna love this next one.
Ooh, is this a sour? Ooh,
I'm just not a big
oh,
fan of the small sour.
Well, Carnell, you've already
you want to go big or go home? Sour.
So yeah. Let's see how sour this really is. It's the next award winner. What is the award it won?
What's the category?
Well, this category, sorry, is fruit beer.
Fruit beer.
So which is a really important category, I must think, to brewers, because fruit beer is such a gateway to craft for so many people.
Yeah, so this is the Tropical Tart Ale from Steamworks. Mm.
And number one in the category.
It's passion fruit and pomegranate, if you're wondering what
oh,
the tropical fruits are. Yeah.
Awesome.
Can't wait to try it.
And just before we go any further, the third and second place winners were DeWitt from Daggerad Brewing won the bronze.
Nice.
And Asking for a Friend from Backcountry in Squamish. Sorry.
Daggerad did really well this year at the awards.
Yeah. Has Daggerad done poorly? I mean,
it's Daggerad. They're
make
pretty good.
Great beer, especially fruit beer. But yeah,
wow, this looks juicy. I mean, it's kind of hazy and it's got that orangish kind of hue.
It's
got
all,
a beautiful head on it.
Yeah, all very new school.
It smells.
Oh, it smells like
delicious.
Stone fruit. I'm
yes,
peaches and apricots and that kind of thing.
Yes, oh, it's
with
good.
A little bit of a tart. Thing in there. Oh, that smells fantastic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I can see how this wins. I've just had a sip and I'm like, yep. Yeah, I should probably grab some of these.
Oh, Lord.
I don't know
oh,
what
wow.
else you want from a beer like that.
That's really, really good. It's
delicious.
It's not crazy tart.
No.
And it's not like super big. It's easy to drink, really. Mm-hmm. But it definitely is on the tart side.
Yes. You get that passion fruit.
So
for
it's
sure.
It's a
time.
Wheat
yeah.
malt base, it sounds like, and I'm just reading.
Probably. Yeah.
Yeah. And then it's Citra Galaxy hops. So
okay.
Wheat malt with a bit of, I'm guessing, is it lactic acid they use a lot of the time in the kettle sours?
Yeah.
I'm guessing so. Some lactic acid and some Citra and Galaxy, which is a beer that I think a lot of breweries will put
Depends
together.
If they did a kettle sour or something like that, then it could be... lactobacillus or something like that, giving the tartness.
Yeah, I mean, I think a lot of breweries would try their hand at this beer or have tried their hand at this probably a very similar beer, but this one sort of does it to the best.
It's almost like a watered-down version of Nectaris.
Hmm.
You know what I mean?
Slightly,
yeah.
It's got that same flavors, but it's not as big and heavy.
No.
I'm not really getting the pomegranate.
No.
So much.
No.
It doesn't really come through. But,
it's
well,
like, how often do
passion
you have a
fruit.
Pomegranate, though, right?
I love pomegranate.
I've never
Speak
seen you
for
buy
yourself.
A pomegranate. I've never had a pomegranate in this apartment.
Definitely picking up the passion fruit, though.
Yes, passion fruit comes through strong. Yeah, it's delicious.
Yeah, sorry, I didn't mean to interrupt you, but I did.
No, that's okay.
4.9%. Because I almost thought just
okay.
the way the fruit flavor came in heavy, it'd be a little bit lower.
Yeah.
But that's a nice beer. You sort of, I find, when I go to the store, I see Steamworks, and like, not to say Steamworks makes bad beer, quite the contrary, like that they generally make quite good beer, I think, but because it's so easy to get to, it's not always my first thought to pick
yeah.
up.
Yeah. You know, and for me, I mean, I'm just used to seeing it in the landscape. It's been around so long that I almost overlook it.
That's the word I'm looking for, I think.
And but the reality is that since, what's her name, Julia Hanlon?
Right.
Since she's joined like a few years ago, they've sort of changed direction a little bit. She's been trying some really interesting things and doing well with it. I mean, their Hazy IPA won last year or the year before.
It might have been 4 years ago. I think it was the first time
ago?
I went.
Yeah. Oh, God.
But that beer, that the first iteration of Flagship was incredible. And I think they've got it to a really nice, steady place now. And I say that because I know, and I don't think this is like letting any secrets, they've changed the recipe since it won.
Fine-tuned it.
You have to, right? They have to because I think the original beer was built on a recipe that was using whatever hop that you just couldn't get in the level that they wanted to, and they had to play around with it.
Well, it's not just that. Every single year, the ingredients are changing. The malt's changing, and the hops are changing every year, depending on the weather and all that. So it's a moving target trying to use the same ingredients to get to the same beer. Mm-hmm. It's a lot of times you're going to have to change it up a bit to get the same flavors.
Absolutely. It's funny because we have these arguments back and forth, and some people say like, "Oh, Flagship changed the recipe, changed a different beer." I've heard the same thing said about Yellow Dog's High Five Hazy. Like, "Oh, they're changing the recipe."
Yeah,
and we'll give them, people give them crap for that, and then people, Twin Sales are doing exactly the same thing. They're changing the name, and people go, "They're putting a new beer out all the time. Why won't they keep the one I want?" All of these breweries are doing the same thing. They're just packaging it slightly differently from the other. And, I mean, the beer's good. I don't know. You got to know the people that you trust. Just take advice. This release of this is good enough to drink.
Were you at the BC Brewers Conference the day before the BC Brewing Awards?
No, I was only invited once and then never again.
I don't think you have to be invited. You just have to pay.
Yeah, well, I was paid once. I did not have to pay once. And then
so I went to the conference, but I didn't make it to the Brewing Awards this year. Mm-hmm. There was a couple of keynote speakers at the conference that were fantastic. Mm-hmm. And then there was these little break-off sessions with different topics that you could go to. One of the last ones I saw in the day was a guy from the Maritimes, mm-hmm. who was a small hop producer. And he has a small hop farm. And he has a couple brewers that he works with. And he was talking about this relationship he has with this brewery. And when the brewery first approached him about supplying their hops, they said they were looking for a certain type of hop, a certain variety of hop. So he talked to them, and he said, "I don't want to talk about varieties. I want to talk about flavors." Mm-hmm. So this was a new thing to me, a new way of looking at this. Mm-hmm. So what he did was he sat down with the brewer and said, "What flavors and aromas do you need out of the hops for this beer? What are you envisioning? What's your vision?" So he told him, "Okay, I want it to be citrusy and I want it to be this and that," right? So he knew that this one variety of hop he grew that year was very similar to the flavors and everything that this guy was looking for. So he brewed a pilot batch using this specific hop and gave it to the guy. And the guy's like, "Yes, that's the profile we're looking for." So that first year that he supplied him hops for this particular, I think it was a pale ale, they gave him one particular hop, one hop variety. The next year, though, because the crops were different, the terroir was different on the hops, he ended up having to do a blend of three of his different hops to get that same flavor and aroma profile to make that beer. Oh, so he did like a half a dozen different trial batches, little batches with different combinations of the hops to figure out what he needed to do to blend the hops properly to give that brewer the profile that he needed for that beer. The next year, the third year, it was two different hops in a certain combination to provide that profile. So it was a really interesting talk. And he's in the process of doing a paper where he's going to put together a chart and all this stuff so that you can try to figure out flavor profiles. And then through the flavor profile, pick the hops you need.
Awesome.
But the other thing was, moving forward, he wanted to roll this out to other hop producers and have the hop producers test their hops and then have them listed or organized by their flavor components and aroma components. and sort of getting away from saying, oh, I need Amarillo to make this beer.
Right. It's what combination of...
What's in the Amarillo that year that you're looking for. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. It could be a different hop next year that's going to give you that same profile.
Right.
I thought that was really interesting.
It makes sense. I mean, everything's made up of components, right? And, you know, there's what, how many different car companies out there that are making cars? The end result is still a car. They're using, like, different components to get there. And if one component mm-hmm. breaks, you know, you can use a slightly different one to replace that component to get you to the end result of a car.
Sure.
Also, I mean, isn't, like, Julia Child used to say that, right? Like, you just deal with what you got. Doesn't mean you're going to get any less a cake or a roast chicken or a boeuf bourguignon.
You got to work with what you have.
Yeah, that's it. Work with what you have. And, I mean, we get so... I mean, it just goes to show, I think... And I'm not trying to say I know more than the average person because I think I know what I... I don't know a lot. But it goes to show... you know, perhaps we're all thinking about, you know, beer and everything else the wrong way.
Yeah.
You know, or we don't know as much as we thought we knew about these things.
At the end of the day, a brewer is a chef of sorts.
Yeah, absolutely. A chef and a chemist and,
yeah.
and a guy who sits right. around in a factory all day. Yeah. But long story short, this beer is pretty great.
It's delicious.
Yeah. You know,
super fruity without being sweet, and I don't think there's any lactose in it, because you don't get that sweetness or anything.
No, I don't get a sweetness.
It's really, really nice.
Nice tartness. I would have thought it'd been lower ABV just because of the big fruit flavors, but not quite.
Yeah, you could almost mistake it for one of those.
Nectaris, is what you were saying?
Or? Well, no, I'm thinking one of those beers where you got beer and fruit juice mixed together.
Oh, a Radler. Yeah.
You can almost mistake it for
absolutely.
Something like that.
Yeah, like I was thinking 3.5%, 4%. Right. And to have it 4.9, I'm like, wow. It is nice. But
delicious. I like this beer a lot.
I do, too. I might have to get more of this.
So this is the first time I've tried this beer, and the only reason I tried it was because it was on the winner's list.
Oh, you know what it
I
looks like?
I would encourage you to run out there and get some of this Steamworks.
Have you heard of Natterdays?
Natterdays?
Natterdays.
No.
It's made by Natural Light, Natty Light.
Oh, yeah,
is
yeah, yeah.
American thing. And they've basically done a strawberry lemonade mixed with beer. And I can't help. I mean, you can't see this if you're listening. But if you look at these cans, they are the spitting image of each other.
I don't know.
Like, you got the name, and then you got the fade.
The Natty Light's got pink flamingos on it, man.
Yeah, this has a steam clock, a beer, and a boy. The lady for the World War One Memorial out in Gastown. It's basically the same thing as flamingos. I don't know.
Well, the background is a gradient.
It's gradient background. But that's what I'm saying. Like, I think, you know, both these beers are hitting at the same idea in terms of flavor profile.
And they got the white block letters. So, I mean, yeah. There's similarities.
I just broke down the code.
When did you buy this Natty Light stuff?
I haven't bought it yet. I've just been told. Some of the beer groups, I mean, this is the next big thing.
Lemonade and strawberry.
Strawberry lemonade. Wow. I've never had one. Next time I'm in the States, I might try and pick some up. But moving on to spice beer, we got Night Watch by Lighthouse Brewing in bronze, Flex Mex from Twin Sails Brewing in silver, Yoga Pants Cucumber
Yoga Pant.
Basil Sour from Electric Bicycle Brewing.
Cucumber Basil Sour.
Yoga Pants.
That just sounds weird.
Yeah.
Basil and sour to me don't sound like they belong together, but apparently they do because they won first place with it.
Basil and strawberry is one of the best combinations.
I haven't had this beer. I don't know, but I think I'm lost there.
Hey, if it won first, it's got to be good.
Yeah. All right, anyways.
Well.
Smoke and Wood Age Beer. Number three bronze medal is Laurel Brett Saison from Il Sauvage.
Oh.
Ignis Leichtenheiner from House of Funk Brewing Company.
There we go.
And then number one is the Great Grätzer from Moutiel. So
Moutiel's back up there.
That's right. Great Grätzer. That was one of the original beers.
Yeah, it's been around. The Great Grätzer was, I think that was the first year they were open. They had
that's
that.
That's right,
one
yeah. All wheat beer. I think it was
smoked
our first
wheat
seasonal.
Beer, yeah.
Yeah. And then we get
specially wood-aged beer, Scarlet from Steamworks Brewing Co., so another medal there. Debauchery Bourbon Barrel Aged Imperial Stout, House of Funk Brewing. I've heard
that really good
things about that beer.
Well, I might need to get up there again soon.
It's you know what? I haven't been there since spring. I know, I haven't been. Because you think, oh, it's just on the other side of the bridge.
Oh,
especially for us, we're in the Tri-Cities.
A nightmare.
I know. As the crow flies, it is not far at all. But it is a trip trying to get out there.
Yeah. If only they'd build that bridge, over from Ioco.
Zip line.
There you go.
European Sour. Little Red One from Strange Fellows Brewing. There you go. Troika. Little Red One, I haven't had it either. Yeah. Troika I tried from P49, and it was really nice, actually.
Troika.
Cork and Cage series.
Oh, okay.
If you're trying to build up a cellar, Cork and Cage series from P49 is not a bad place to start.
Not bad?
No, not at all. And then the Shiro Il Sauvage Brewing Company. I know nothing about that beer, but again, we see some island breweries taking awards, and we also see some older breweries taking awards.
Yeah.
Specialty beer, the Galu Gubin from Whistle Boy Brewing Co.
Whistle Boy
is the new spot to go to. It's co-owned by the Drake and Jordan Foss Esquire.
Where is that at?
I believe it's downtown Victoria.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh.
Yeah. Pilsbo Baggins, New Zealand Pilsner.
Nice name.
That's right. From KPU, Kwantlen Polytechnic.
And really?
And a whiskey sour ale from Fieldhouse Brewing.
Yeah, I was looking for that today. Apparently it is sold out.
Because there's a fox on it. People are obsessed with foxes.
Well, it comes in those cute little stubbies, though, too, doesn't it?
I think that's... Is it just the sour wheat goza?
I don't know.
It's a good beer, too.
When I see Fieldhouse in my head, I'm thinking weird little shaped bottles. I'm
thinking great beer in jars.
Just about.
There's nothing I love more than tasting a delicious beer with the ridges of a jar on my tongue. Anyways, North American Light Beer, Cream Ale from Gladstone Brewing, wins bronze. We drank that beer on the show. We loved it. You brought some back for us.
That's right, yeah.
Red Racer Summer Crush Hop Lager.
Summer Crush.
From Central City. Yeah, Central City Brewing. I haven't seen this beer, and Central City is huge.
Yeah, I see their beer everywhere, but I think I would have to agree. I don't remember seeing that beer.
No, I would like to give that a try. Honestly, that sounds like something that might be. I always think there's a market there for a really clean, crisp lager.
For sure.
That's just hopped with something like light and fruity, like Mosaic or something. Mm-hmm. I think it'd probably be hard to get like shelf stable for long enough because the hops might fade really quick.
Yeah.
But it would be cool if it could be done. If you had a brewery that was basically, what's it called, out of the front door primary, you're trying to sell all your beer out of the front door, that'd be something that would be cool. Mm-hmm. Anyways, gold in this category is to No Brainer from Brass Neck.
Nice.
Great beer. And it's one that's a lot of corn, isn't it?
I don't know.
North American Blonde Ale, Royal City Ale, Steel and Oak Brewing. I had one with dinner the other night. It was really nice. Actually, I forgot how good that beer could be. It's the closest thing to what I just described, actually, I think.
What's it called?
Royal City Ale.
Royal City
Just a dry
Ale.
Hop blonde okay. ale.
Nice.
Yeah. Ballpark Blonde from Red Arrow Brewing.
That's Red Arrow.
Yeah, quite nice, too. And then Bastion Blonde from Whitetails Brewing. And there you go. Steel and Oak, OG. And then two Island Breweries.
Wow.
Yeah. North American Pale Ale, Hazy Pale Ale from Steamworks Brewing Co., which I originally thought this was what we're drinking now. Palita by the Amaya Brothers at Andina Brewing.
Ah, yeah.
Good for them. Yeah, well, they brought a new brewer last year, I think it was. And he's been making some real nice beers. We tried some of the one of their Hazy IPAs, and we all loved it, I remember.
Oh, yeah.
And then Hazy Citra Pale Ale from 4 Mile, also on the island.
4 Mile, they just are going through a little bit of an issue right now.
Oh, no.
They had a little bit of a fire.
I saw that.
Was that 4 Mile?
Yeah.
Yeah, so I hope they're going to be okay. Mm-hmm. But, yeah, it didn't sound good. I'm not sure the details exactly, but it sounded similar to what Spinnaker's had.
What's going on the island?
It's very flammable on the island, apparently. Well, that's not funny. I shouldn't
older
joke.
Buildings, though, too, right?
Yeah. Yeah, it's the older buildings.
Fireplaces too bad. And whatnot.
North American. My dog is on my coffee table right now. North American Pale Ale. Hazy Pale. No, we just did this one.
Yeah.
North American Amber and Brown. Midnight Umber. Red Arrow Brewing Company. So that's another one for Midnight. Red Arrow again. Wow. Sorry, for Red Arrow.
On the island.
Easy Amber from Nelson Brewing Co.
Nice.
And then Birra Rossa from Kwantlen Polytechnic. So there's your
goal. Kwantlen again. Wow. So was that three or four for them so far? Jeez.
Four. I think they went five, yeah.
Unreal. No wonder they're Brewer of the Year.
Yeah. North American Porter and Stout.
Yes.
Bomber Russian Imperial Stout.
Okay.
From Bomber Brewing.
Wow.
Here's an interesting one.
Surprised with how many bombers showed up.
Yeah.
Crazy.
Well, they kept the brewer, didn't they?
Yeah, probably. I think Don's still working there.
Here's one that shocked. This was the most shocking one of the night for me. And I don't mean that like ill intent. Anyways, Rye Stout from Doan's Craft Beer Company.
Doan's, yes. Brewing out of Craft Collective now.
Well, that's my thought. So yeah. They're coming up here. Well, I'm assuming that this Rye Stout, which is a beer they've been producing for ages, was produced at Craft Collective.
It would have to be because Doan's, their old location there, is
belongs to Slowhand. Yeah.
It's no longer making Doan's beer.
That's right. And it says Doan's Craft Brewing Company, but that has to have been produced under license by Craft Collective.
I don't know if it's under license because there was some kind of reorganization deal where Doan's became a part of Craft Collective or something like that.
So are they Craft Collective and Doan's?
That's a good question. I'm not sure how it's set up legally.
I mean, I'm sure these are awards. It doesn't matter what they write as the award winners. That's not important.
Right.
This is just for fun. But it's interesting to see, to my mind, this is the first beer out of Craft Collective to win an award.
You might be right. It's hard to say these days because so many people are brewing out of there, but...
Well, including themselves under different names.
Yeah, no kidding.
It's like me living in my house and saying 8 people live here, but they're all just me. And I'm producing crappy beer on my stovetop.
Wow.
Well, you know, when Doan's moved in there, part of the package was that the Doan's brothers were there to be the new brewers and take over operations, right?
Well, take over operations. I think it was over top of the...
So the old brewer's gone from Craft Collective, and the Doan's guys are taking care of things now.
All I know is rumor and conjecture. But my understanding is he's not intended to be there as the guy brewing beer, but he is there to make sure that the quality is high and everything. From what I understand, the quality has risen significantly since the Doan brothers came part of it. Yeah. And maybe this is part and parcel of that, them winning an award for this.
And I'm sure he's keeping an eye on his own beers closer than anything else. So it makes sense that's what would win an award out of there.
Absolutely. So and enough. What's the term? Enough shade. Enough shade.
What? Do you know what shade is?
Throwing shade.
Yeah.
Enough
shade is like kind of being snippy.
Yeah.
Like
enough
rude.
Shade thrown.
Sassy.
How about just some credit towards Doan's?
Yes.
Yeah. That's amazing.
Well done. All right, Porter from Gladstone Brewing Company. Another one that I've enjoyed in the past. Here's one that's fun. Here's one that I love to see. This North American IPA. 7 or 8 years ago, this would have been like the granddaddy.
Yeah.
And now no one gives a shit.
It's coming back.
There's like one person that gives a shit.
Yeah.
Probably.
No, it's coming back.
You think
watch
so?
Over the next couple of years.
Old man.
I'm a diehard hazy
shakes
girl.
Shakes fist at cloud saying, I don't like my IPAs cloudy.
I just read something that said one day we're going to be telling our kids that IPAs used to be bitter.
Yeah.
That's right.
My day, we had clear IPAs.
That's right.
Anyways, Play Dead IPA. At one point, I used to call this like one of the best 3 or 4 beers in BC. wins a bronze medal. So
yeah.
I got to revisit this beer because it's right
dead,
down the street.
Yellow Dog.
Yeah, it's a good one. Shipwreck from Lighthouse
Brewing
Company. Yeah.
Is that second?
Second. And number one, Bomber IPA from Bomber Brewing.
Amazing. So, yeah, I've been actually keeping my eye peeled the last week or so for that Bomber IPA, and I haven't seen it in the stores where I usually shop. So, yes. I'll be watching. I'm curious now. I want to pick some up.
And listen, guys, you have to tell all your friends because Bomber won't do it because they're very modest.
Give Bomber a break. I have more awards than you do.
I'm helping them. They won't tell people about themselves.
They're just too modest.
Their whole packaging, it literally says, we are not, or we are modest. We don't want you to look at us. Don't look at us. Yeah, buy us if you want. Just don't make a big deal out about it. The worst marketing campaign I've ever seen.
I like the old school IPA, so I'll be looking that one up.
Yeah, I might have to try these ones out. whatever, I don't know. Specialty IPA, Slingshot Session IPA from Fernie Brewing Co. How long have they been around? I have no idea. I've had quite a few of their beers.
A couple of years. They haven't been around too long.
Sipposaurus Rex. I love dinosaur references. Thank you, Backroads Brewing. You get a silver medal in specialty IPA and a silver medal in my heart.
Backroads again.
Gold medal in your heart.
Well, we'll see. Ferocious Wild IPA from Yellow Dog Brewing. Well done, Yellow Dog. Hmm. All right, here we go. The new important person, Hazy IPA, 91 entries. Wow. This is a big deal.
91.
And here it is. I'm really proud of these guys because I gave them a little bit of shit back in the day, and a lot of people have given them some trouble. But this beer is my go-to beer on Brewer's Row.
Really?
Yeah, you want to take a stab at it?
It's got to be one of those Twin Sails hazy things.
Dat Juice?
False. It is the Parkside.
Oh, what? Dreamboat.
Dreamboat Hazy IPA.
Really? He loves Dreamboat.
I love it.
You a big fan of the Dreamboat?
It's actually so delicious.
Really? It's so good. It's so good. It is dependable. It is juicy. It is great. I have trouble ordering anything else there. I'd say that's my. It might be one of my desert island beers again. Like if I want
everything
a dependable
you want
beer,
in a hazy.
Yeah,
really
I don't know. See, when I'm at Parkside, I'm more of a Dawn Patrol kind of guy or whatever.
Are you thinking that's something?
That's a Pilsner.
Not Dawn Patrol. Dawn.
Oh, Dawn. Dawn Pilsner.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Fair enough. Yeah. That's we did.
If
that
you like Pilsners,
for,
then yes.
The tasting panel, What's Brewing, and it's a great beer.
Yeah.
I think the quality of beer at Parkside has risen significantly in the past couple of years.
Yeah, they got off to a little bit of a slow start, and the first few beers they came out with were pretty bland and boring. But I know the Vern stepped up the game there, and their beers are damn good. And they're damn solid.
Absolutely. And Dusk, the pale ale, that's a great English pale ale as far as I'm concerned. It's fizzy, which an English pale is not. But as far as flavor profile, I think that's a decent example of a... Anyways, that's not for everyone. Good. But the Dreamboat is a great hazy IPA.
Interesting.
And everyone who disagrees can... I don't know. Do you disagree?
Don't drink it then. It's more for me.
Don't talk to me. I'll be drinking Dreamboat hazy IPA over here. Anyways.
So good.
Number two is Neon Lights Pale Ale from Brew Hall Brewing.
Had that one. It's a really good beer, too.
Yeah. Vans and I have had it. I like that beer quite a bit.
This is my category, though.
This is bombs.
If I know anything, it's hazy IPAs.
Yeah. Number one is a bunch of letters and numbers in no apparent order. It is exp.003.mkvi-fluffy cloud IPA by 33 Brewing Experimental.
Yeah, so one of their experimental batches at the experimental side of 33 Acres.
Experiment that went well, apparently.
Yes.
I don't know if it was hazy on purpose, though, because every other hazy thing I've seen from them has been clear as day.
That's true. I haven't had a hazy one from them yet.
Yeah, I've never...
I didn't try this one, that's for sure.
Yeah. It's like every day they walk in there and it's a bunch of grade fours because it's opposite day in that player.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, I've heard... Whatever. This is what happened when Mike's not here.
Yeah. Sorry, Mike.
No... I'd like to try this beer out. I've actually heard some really good things. I know some friends and people I know have sought it out.
The problem with the experimental stuff, it may or may not ever come around again, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's the whole idea
there. Luck.
They just pump them out.
Well, you'll know right away because all their growlers are clear, so.
They are?
Yeah, they make clear growlers.
What? Okay, well, Carnell's not a fan, apparently.
Well, no, because the idea is you get your clear 33 Acres experimental growler, and then you buy their $100 plus sleeve for it.
Ah.
And it says B33R.
Right.
There you go.
Yeah.
Right.
Trendy.
Best branding.
Trendy.
33 Acres.
On trend.
All right, Imperial IPA. We're still working on this.
Good category.
Jeez, this Imperial. Is going to be like a two-hour podcast, you guys.
Yeah.
I really want to try this beer here.
I know. We're getting there. We're getting there.
I know. Imperial IPA, One Trick Pony from Brass Neck. Thank you, Brass Neck. You make great beers.
Numbskull
from
great.
Lighthouse Brewing. I have not had this beer in ages. And then Psychosis 7 Deepa, White Tooth Brewing Company. And I can't remember where White Tooth Brewing Company is, but I think it's in Golden because Golden...
Okay.
Has this mountain called Mount 7, I think.
Yeah.
And they used to have the Mount 7 Psychosis.
Okay.
Which is
okay.
a mountain bike. Tall mountain, mountain bike thing. It was early 2000s.
White Tooth.
People wore their goggles sideways. It was a weird time.
Carnell, you nailed it. White Tooth is in Golden.
Wow.
That's right. I know referential things.
North Golden.
North Golden. There's like 8,000 people there and they're worried about directions.
I don't know. It says North Golden on their Instagram.
Golden.
Yeah.
It's a rough all right, crowd all right. over there. They don't even like beer.
We got to stop spilling tea and throwing shade, which I understand are the new kid words, because we are at Belgium.
He's a middle school teacher.
Stop telling people. Serious, Cam, can you cut that? I don't want people to know.
Oh, my God.
I'm serious. Please, Cam.
Yeah, the kids are listening to this, Carnell.
I don't want them to Google me.
Oh, my God.
Anyways, honorable Belgian ale. Here's
oh, here we
category.
Go. Here we go.
Honorable mention, the Jonglia from Stainfell's Brewing.
That is honorable.
Ice Good Fields beer. Pale Ale from White Tooth Brewing Company.
From White Tooth. Yay.
La Tenance. Tenance. Belgian single from White Tooth Brewing Company. Oh, well done, White Tooth. Two in a row.
Good for that.
And gold medal goes to North Burnaby people.
The people came together and brewed a beer.
Wow.
In Daggerat Brewing, you have made Bernabarian, their Belgian table beer.
Yeah. And
so good.
The Bernabarian is definitely a solid Belgian-style beer, but it is a table beer. It's pretty easy to drink. It's super easy to find usually, too. This is one I found quite easily today at my locals.
Mm-hmm.
If you're in the Lower Mainland, you should be able to find it. And, yeah, Daggerat knows how to make a Belgian-style beer, don't they?
They
seems like it.
Is this like their thing?
Yeah. I think they've picked up a couple of awards this year, too.
Yeah, maybe just a few. Didn't they sweep this category?
Well, they also picked up awards with their 5 and their 10, which were, stronger versions.
Yeah. So a long time ago, when I was at SFU, I did a beer column in the Peak newspaper. I got to speak to Ben because I was trying to promote places to go if you were at SFU where to grab a drink. Mm-hmm. And I remember him telling me at like one point this beer or a couple of our beers literally existed to regrow yeast.
Okay.
And so they had like
yeast propagation.
Yeah, it's a yeast propagation. And I could be totally misquoting him here. So, but I mean, that would be something you would be concerned about, especially at Belgian. And they were, so they had, when they opened up their tiny shoebox tasting room, and to be fair, a shoebox tasting room, like it was literally like 12 shoeboxes.
If you had 6 space. People in there, it was crowded.
It was intense.
It was kind
of
nuts.
I think Bernabarian was one of the beers that he produced so he could have growler fills.
Okay.
Because so many of the other beers were bottle conditioned.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
That makes sense. That he had 2 beers on his slate that would propagate each other, that were bottle conditioned. And then I believe he had 2 beers that were he could force carb. And then he could sell them, do growler sales with.
Interesting.
And I believe Bernabarian was one of them.
Well, Bernabarian is one of my favorite ones that Daggerat makes, just because it is pretty easy drinking and it's well made. It's a nice balanced Belgian style beer.
Yeah, absolutely. And I love how I know Ben Coley. I can never remember.
Mm.
He's the owner. Visionary.
That is a good beer.
It is.
It's got a nice solid malt background there.
Bit of funk, but it doesn't like.
It's nicely balanced. It's got a little tiny bit of sweetness. It's really nice.
This beer, I always think, is like an awesome food beer.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. This
because it's not
I
just...
I totally agree.
I mean, beer is so good with food because the bubbles scrub your mouth and they give you that like the opportunity to taste the next spoonful by itself.
Yep.
And they can add things. But this beer especially because it's
It does that, but it's also got a bit of its own flavor, and it's a flavor that's sort of like, it's almost a universal flavor, that funk. You know what I mean? Like, it would go with a lot of things.
It's got a little spiciness to it. It's got a little bit of that bubblegum character that you get from Belgian beers. It's but it finishes nice and clean on the tongue. It finishes slightly bitter, almost astringent. So if this would pair really nicely with like something greasy, or a heavy kind of cheese.
Well, it's funny you say that, because I was going to go, well, not necessarily the whole other way. I keep thinking Indian food would be so good with this.
Could be, yeah.
I mean, or it could be wrong. I don't know.
Yeah, certain things like, say, samosas and things like that would go good with it, for sure.
Buttered chicken is what I envision.
I'm thinking more like bratwurst. Like,
it's interesting that we all went a different way.
Mm-hmm.
But it's just like, yeah, you know.
I think that's the good sign of a table beer. It's going to go with food, right?
That's right. Yeah, and I imagine you also have like a jug of this. Like, you have like a growler at the table, and it is the table beer. Like, you're just like into the glass.
Yeah.
Yeah, this is the beer they were drinking. This was like, I know they have that Game of Thrones beer, but like, this is the beer they would be drinking.
This is, a European table beer. I mean, yeah. Love it.
Beautiful, yeah.
I could drink this.
Do. I challenge you. All right, and let's go through the last ones, and then... we'll break for a week, but in reality, it'll be several minutes, and we'll do something else.
Uh-oh.
Here we go.
Stay tuned for next week when we're way more drunk because we've had all of these already.
The Russell Wee Angry...
Scotch.
Heavy or whatever they call it. That was the other one that I did see on the shelves today.
Which is a classic.
And it also won first place in its category.
That's right. So Saison, the past, collab with Blindman. Daggerat Brewing. Blindman out of Calgary, I believe. Small Wonder, Brassneck Brewing. And then 5 by Daggerat Brewing. So again, Daggerat just murdering. I don't know what it's going to take for them to win a Brewery of the Year in BC. They've already done Brewery of the Year in Canada. Right? Oh, here we go. Strong Belgian Ale.
Yeah.
Guess who wins? Honorable mention to 33 Acres of Euphoria. This was at 38.3 Acres Brewing Company. 3, or Bronze, Blonde by Daggerat Brewing. Silver, Rosetta by Daggerat Brewing. Gold, 10 Degree by Daggerat Brewing.
Yeah.
Wild Ale, Pinkies Out Tropical Sour from Farmer's Folly and Pitt Meadows.
Amazing.
Mixtape Series Dry Hop Sour. Boombox Brewing, and I just realized I have that beer in my cellar.
It's a nice label.
Pretty exciting. Yeah, a little cassette tape.
It's got that holographic kind of
quality. Yeah. Really nice branding by Boombox. Mm-hmm. And then number 1 for Wild Ale, Strange Resemblance from Strange Fellows Brewing.
That was my favorite beer over the summer.
Hmm.
I loved it. And actually, it might have even been better last summer.
Oh.
But what an amazing beer.
Just love Strange Fellows.
Well, that particular beer is so good because it's a nice saison. It's super dry. Mm. It's got some really interesting flavors to it. Mm. And it's got that wild edge. So you get a little bit of that bread in there. You get a little bit of the lacto to give it a bite. And it's just phenomenal.
Nice.
All right. Especially Wild Ale. And this is the last category. So we'll be moving on after this. Specialty Wild Ale, Rose Changeling from Brassneck. Again, Brassneck wins. Changeling is one of their classics that they fruit differently at most releases.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, beauty beer. Noble Blend Mixed Culture Saison from Yellow Dog Brewing. So I didn't realize a little bit of a resurgence here for Yellow Dog. They sort of put their foot down at the first BC Brewing Awards when they won. And that sort of set them up for a lot of success. That year they won Best in Show for their Smoked Porter.
Wow.
Mm.
Yeah. That was about 5 years ago, I believe. It was the last one I didn't go to. And then Mountain View Black Currant Sour.
Sour.
Bugs and Wugs, Crap Works.
That's another one I don't think you'll find around anymore because it's been replaced by 3 or 4 different fruited sours.
Yeah. So, anyways, congratulations to all the winners.
Yeah.
Another great BC Beer Awards. I think it's year 10, really hit its stride. I have trouble disagreeing with just about any of the winners. And I've always got to say, the people who run the BC Beer Awards, I gave them a lot of flack a couple years ago, and they've been really kind to me ever since.
They're kind, great, benevolent people.
They're good people who are relying a lot on their volunteers to make their event happen. Yeah. And I've been in their shoes, having put on cask festivals before. It's not easy. Just the organization and logistics of it are kind of difficult to begin with.
Yeah.
Never mind trying to get volunteers who aren't being paid to, you know, back you up and do what needs to be done. So, I mean, you know, they do a good job. They put on a good festival, and they put on a good conference, too. I mean, before we break, I would like to tell you about a couple other things that happened at the conference.
Absolutely.
We had a keynote speaker there this year who was the owner and the main brewer from Bose Natural.
Oh, yeah. They broke into us. They broke into BC a couple years ago, didn't they?
I think you can buy their stuff here, yeah. But he had some interesting stories about their business when it was growing and when they were doing well and when they weren't doing well. And he also had some general things to share about the industry itself. But one of the things that really stuck with me that he was talking about was he was talking about, what was it? How did he call it now? He called it intergenerational memories. And when I think about it, I'm thinking it's something similar to intuition or instinct or whatever. Mm-hmm. So he likened it to, you know, say you see a small child, say a 2 or 3 year old,
yeah.
They hear music and they start dancing intuitively.
Right.
Nobody showed them how to dance. It's not a learned behavior. They just do it because it's something from their past. It's something from our ancestors or whatever that's been handed down in this acquired memory or whatever.
Mm-hmm.
And he likened beer or the smell of a campfire and these kind of things to being the same type of thing.
Right.
So he said,
"That's interesting.
Even though the market's going to change and people are going to drink their boozy, sparkling water drinks and, and whatever is the newest trend right now, at the end of the day, people will always drink beer.
Yes.
Because it has that flavor, that smell. When you drink it, it makes you feel a certain way.
Yes.
It makes you feel comforted. It reminds you of something, right?
Yep, there's always a memory associated with beer, for sure.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So, hey.
I totally agree. That's interesting.
The market might be changing a little bit, but it's not going to change that much.
No.
People are always going to drink beer.
No, don't worry. There will always be beer.
I'm quitting as of right now.
You're quitting beer? Okay. That'll go for about 3 hours.
Right.
30 minutes.
But yeah.
Yeah, that's very interesting.
So anyways, if you don't know about the BC Beer Awards and this is the first time you've heard about it, then I would encourage you to pay attention next year. It happens every fall in BC. Generally, it's end of September, beginning of October.
Yeah, and it sells out quick, so you got to get your tickets in advance.
It's usually the BC Beer Brewing Awards is on the Saturday, generally. Sometimes it's a Sunday, but it's on a weekend. And it follows the BC Brewers Conference, which is at the same time, so all the brewers are in town. And if you're a brewer, you're in the brewing industry, then go to the conference because it's great.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not, then go to the BC Beer Awards and try some of the beers that are the best in the province.
Yes,
most of the winners probably had booths there at the at the awards and were serving their beer. Might not have been the award-winning beer that they were serving, but
they don't know.
In some cases, they would be.
Yeah, I mean the cool thing is you find out when they do. Like, it's the Grammys of beer.
Yeah.
Or the Teen Choice Awards of beer.
I mean, it's more like the Academy Awards of beer in
That's
DC.
That's a better analogy than what I did.
Yeah, and the festival that goes along with it is so much fun. And not only are you getting to try some of the best beers in BC, but the variety is insane. And you get to try breweries that we don't always have access to, which is nice. Like, I'm not going to make it to the island all the time, but all the island breweries were there, even small, Main Island, and the small islands were there. Yeah. So. Yeah,
we love
lots
it.
Of good beer.
I mean,
so much
fun. We in this thing we do, we occasionally get to do things for free. And
I mean, well, no, this is.
I did not get to do that for free.
I'm just going to put that out there. Mean, but I mean, Pacific Beer Chat was lucky enough to be given some passes, but we also made sure that we bought a pass so that Banny, myself, and Mike could go because we enjoy this festival. Like, this is one of the ones that we will happily spend some money to enjoy. It's a great festival, and the BC Beer Awards. The team that organizes it should be commended. It's an awesome event. It's one of the best ones going.
And it's usually at the Croatian Cultural Center, which is in walking distance of the SkyTrain.
Yeah. Yeah. No one drives. Yeah. There's no parking. You have to take transit. And the venue itself is a great venue. Lots of space. Good food. Tap and Barrel kind of sponsored the food, I think, this year. They had some really good tacos. Yeah, it's always a good time. Very interesting.
Cool.
All right.
Should we kill it?
Let's kill it.
Meet back in 1 week from now.
All right. All right. We'll see you first. Everybody. Secret meeting next week.
Cheers.
Bye.
Thanks for tuning in to Pacific Beer Chat. We can be found on all podcast apps as well as at pacificbeerchat.com. If you find a podcast app we are missing on, let us know and we'll endeavor to fix that. Leave us a review on iTunes as it helps expose more people to the show. You can email us at feedback@pacificbeerchat.com. We can be found on all major social media apps at Pacific Beer Chat. Logo design was by Tim, the craft beer tourist. Audio editing done by Cam, known as Cam on Tap on Twitter. To play us out, here is a clip of the song Lothian by the band Conundrum, performed by Kevin Ems. Find them at conundrum-music.bandcamp.com. The song that plays us out is part of our intro.